And for you, Brother Shelton, I'm not that daring. I'm going to stay with paper and a Bible. I've done the iPad before, and I just can't. There's something about electronics that I still don't trust. 17:14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Church, tonight my message is entitled Resiliency or Resignation. Resiliency or resignation. You know, church, as I ponder these words, and we're going to go ahead and begin with prayer, and I'll finish this thought. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, God. Ask your dear God that you take this message, Father. This message, Father, that's been prepared, Lord God, to talk to the hearts, the minds, and the souls of all those here tonight, Father. We thank you, dear God, for who you are and what you've done for us, Lord God. May 2020, Lord God, be a year of fire, God. A year, Father, of devotion. A year, Lord God, as we draw closer to your coming, Father, that more souls begin to come through these doors, Father. Lord God, we're grateful to you for everything you continue to do for us, Lord God. Continue to shower your children with blessings, with the rains of blessing, Father. We worship and we praise you. We ask you, Father, for your blessing upon this word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Resiliency or resignation. You know, church, as I was thinking about this message, God is putting this on my heart. And, you know, a confirmation came from Brother Shelton when he started his message last Sunday. The last time he preached. And he was talking about so many times you have so many things on your mind that the enemy continues to attack your mind and continues to discourage you. I think Sister Sarah made mention that this morning she felt discouragement. You know, church, we're human. This congregation tonight is full of human beings. We're not superheroes. We are people who are on a journey. We're on a roadway. We are looking for that city. For that city. We were looking for something, church, that's going to get us there. But you know what, church? This morning, the distractions of life, even this morning's service come in. You know, church, as I think about this message, resilience and resignation, I think, God, what is it trying to show me, Lord? And I think many times I want to resign. How many times have I quit? I think pastors made mention that before. How many times have I quit? How many times have I even quit you all? Many times I resign in my mind and I think I'm done. The things that frustrate us. And I've always said this, if it wasn't for people, life would be great, right? Isn't it people that drive you? But many times, church, we need to look in the mirror. The person that really drives you insane is you. It's us. Resiliency or resignation. How many times have we quit? Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, church, he never quit. He was resolved that he was going to take every one of those painful steps to the cross, to the place where he would be crucified. As he took the beatings, church, as he didn't utter a word, he stood there for me and you, showed us what resolve is, resiliency, but he never resigned. And many times, church, I'm human. Past few months, longer than that, so many times, like I said, I'm human, church. We've wanted to just resign. I'm talking mentally. You just want to detach yourself from everything. God, I want something easier. Give me an easier path. Give me something, Lord, that I don't have to deal with. And many times God gives us more. And we sit there and we think, oh no. Resiliency or resignation. How many people have many times resigned tonight? Your hearts. How many of your minds have you quit? Church, we've gone through a lot in the past few years in this church. We talk about a lot of heartbreak because of children, because of lost relatives, because of losses in life. We've gone through a lot. You know, the physical things we lose aren't as important as the spiritual things. And most of the time our heartbreaks are tied to physical things. Many times it causes us to want to resign. Resiliency starts in the heart and is encouraged in the mind. Resignation starts in the heart and is confirmed by the mind. Resiliency is the purposeful ability to recover oneself. Resignation is the purposeful ability to remove oneself. Resiliency is continuously plowing through the field of our mind to prepare for the rain. Resignation is putting the plow aside and abandoning the field of my mind. These are thoughts I put together, church, because you know what? I was putting notes for myself. I wasn't preaching to anybody. I wasn't preparing a sermon. I was putting notes. I was putting things down that God was giving me. The frustrations at times that I feel, church. And it's that resilience or resignation. How many times have we quit? Many times we come in already having given up. Let's go to 1 Kings 17, verses 3 through 14. The story of Elijah. My text came out of this portion of scripture. You know, Elijah announces a 3-year drought to King Ahab. Verse 3, Elijah is hid by the brook Cherith as directed by God. God tells Elijah, you need to go hide for a while. I need you for a season to go hide by the brook. You know what Cherith means? It means a cutting. It means separation. It's a gorge. It's a torrent bed or a winter stream. Cherith means separation. Many times God is asking us, you need to separate yourself from those things that are binding you, those things that are holding you back. We need to be purposeful in listening and obeying. We need to be purposeful in separating ourselves. By verse 4, the ravens are commanded to feed thee. By verse 6, they brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now we know what ravens eat. And we think they brought flesh. And if you consider this is good enough for Elijah, it's good enough for you. Church, you need to put away your food allergies. You need to put away everything, your diets. You need to put away your thoughts. Whatever God is going to provide. I'm talking spiritual food. I'm not talking physical food. Whatever God is going to make you partake of. Whatever God is going to make you eat, you need to go ahead and consume it. Because God is going to give you nourishment in one form or another. That's what God is wanting to do tonight, church. What are you willing to consume? Elijah, the raven. They were commanded to bring food. Verse 7, the brook dries up because of the lack of rain. By verse 9, he's directed to go to Zarephath as a widow woman has been commanded to sustain thee. Ravens to sustain you and a widow to sustain you. God will provide through the natural and the supernatural. Church, are we ready for the supernatural? Are we ready for the natural? His plan, it's not someone with provision, but someone without. It's His plan. It's not someone hopeful, but someone hopeless. His plan is not somebody who could take in, but someone who would give up. Both of these events, Elijah obeyed the word of God. You know, church, sometimes we think God is going to give us the golden key, the key to the city. And many times we have to enter through the back door. And many times in that back door, we come in with these thoughts in the back of our minds. Depression comes in, frustrations, and we give up. We resign. Verse 10. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Get me some water, and by the way, get me something to eat." You know, that's the way I read it, church. Fetch me some water. It's a commandment. Get me some water. Oh, by the way, get me something to eat. Verse 12, and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, then I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." In the presence of a God of a man of God, you still prepare to die. In our minds, sometimes we allow our mind to begin the process of dying. We've given up. God is not about giving up. God is about going forward. And those frustrations, resiliency. How many people are resolved that they're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? I think Brother Jason brought up a good point this morning in Sunday school. You know, if you were called, I think it was in Sunday school, if someone calls you to give it all up, give it all up. Will you? Will you give up your homes, your cars, your fancy phones? And I'm being serious, church. Would you be willing to give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I tell you that many would resign? Because they don't feel like, well, I don't believe, Lord, that you're actually calling me to that. How many would give it up? Lord, I have a career here. I'm ready to retire in a few years. God says, give it up. How many can give it up? That means no more eating out. That means you are going to suffer just like those people you're going to go into a foreign land with. Are you going to resign in your mind, or are you going to resolve that you're going to be the best you can be for Jesus Christ? It's resiliency or resignation, church. You know, this woman, she was making provision for her son. You know what's interesting is, as I read this, she was looking for provision for her son, and she was working unto death. She was going to work up until the day she died. She had nothing else. Hopelessness. She'd given up. She resigned. She was going to make one more proper meal for her and her child. With all she had, she was going to get the last of what she had, being purposeful, and then she was going to resign unto death. To the end, she had one more desperate reach for what she knew she needed to do. There's quite a bit of this type of people surrounding us today, church. Not talking the world, but inside the church. Provision is taken for granted. The church is full of this. In contrast to the widow lady, I see a lot of wasted provision from God in the house of God. God provides us to use, not to waste. The spiritual gifts, church. You know, if you're not going to eat it, don't get it. That even applies to when we get together as a church and people are like, "Oh, well, here we go. Brother Larry's been watching the trash can again." You know, and the Rangers know this from me, that I don't like to see wasted food. I was brought up that way. I was brought up that way, not to waste food. And if you're not going to eat it, don't get it. And if you're not going to eat it all because you're getting too much, maybe you need to serve a little. But you know the spiritual things of God, we do the same thing. We want all the blessings of God. We want to consume as much as we can. We want to take it all in. God, give me this, give me that. God, I want the blessings. I want the provisions, God. I want everything, God, you can give me. And you know what we do, church? Sometimes we overeat. We sit back, we overeat, and then we vomit everything. We take what God has given us and we throw it right back. We take the gifts of God and we say, "Lord, you know, that's good enough. Maybe I could do better." In our minds, we begin to resign and we begin to get away from the things of God. God is looking for people that are purposeful, that are going to consume what they need to continue to grow and continue to go. God is a God of miracles. God is a God of provision. God will provide the need. We don't need a whole banquet right now, church. We just need enough to get us down the road. 13, and Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Sending relief for the hopeless, it will come. You know, church, God is going to send the rain. God is going to send the rain. This morning, we had rain. God is wanting to give us a thunderstorm. God is wanting to give us the thunderclap. God is wanting us to experience the fire from heaven. God is wanting us to have that. We are that close, church. We are that close. You know, we use that term. And sometimes we kind of wear it out. It's, you know, did you get in? It wasn't did you get in, did you hop on? This morning, God was looking to see who was going to respond. And many responded, and I think we testified tonight, in many, many, many different fashions. Everybody responded in their way. God is saying, there's more. I can feed you a little more. If the ravens and a widow lady can provide for a prophet, God can provide for his children. Church, we're that much closer. And I keep saying that, and I believe that in my heart, that we are just that much closer. You want to see the fire in this place, church? We're that much closer. But church, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take this whole congregation. It's going to take everyone in unity, looking for the same thing, casting their eyes on the same thing, focusing on the same thing, because God is looking for some people, a group of people, a remnant in these last days that's going to set this world on fire, church. He's not going to look in Chicago. He's not looking in San Francisco. He's not looking in L.A. He's not looking in these places that are desperate. He's looking in Chelsea, Oklahoma, saying, I will visit you, and I will go out one more time with you, and I will take you, and I will set fire to you, to your heart, to your children, to your church, and people, the people of this community will see that there is a God of Israel. Do we want people to know who the God of Israel is? You know, there's the Lord. And this is my own thoughts, church. I'm sharing this with you. When there's no one to talk to about what's going on in your mind or in my mind, there's the Lord. When there is no one to hear you, there is the Lord. When no one seems to be able to understand what is going on in my life or your life, there is the Lord. When I need counsel, when you need counsel, there's the Lord. Church, he's always been there. When the enemy attacks your mind, there is the Lord. Church, recently, for me, the enemy's just attacked me continuously. And every time I turn, church, I'm looking for someone I can lean on. You're always desperately reaching for something. But you know what I've learned in all this is Jesus Christ has always said, I'm always here. You're reaching for the wrong people. Because once again, church, we're all people. We're all broken. And God is putting us together. God is creating solid vessels out of us. You know that cruse of oil? He is going to look for the anointing, church. We are going to be a church that needs the anointing to be able to go forward, church. Oil is flammable. Oil, where there's oil, there can be flames. Where there's flames, there's heat. Where there's heat, there's that fire. God is looking for a people who have not resigned, but are resilient. When the enemy attacks your mind, there is the Lord. The meal will be there, God's provision. The oil will not fail. That's God's anointing. But I ask that question, Brother Shelton, for you, for anyone that's had that frustrating day, how much can one take? How much can one take? Every day there's something. Church, the drama that plays out in our lives, at work, wherever it's at, sometimes you think, Lord, how much can I take? How much more do I want to take? This Christian walk was supposed to have been, I know it was difficult, but not this difficult. But God is refining. He's building your resiliency. And I asked the question, when's the rain going to come? This morning we had sprinkles in here. This morning it was starting to sprinkle. Just like the prophet, I could see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Church, that cloud is a lot bigger in this place. And it's drawing closer. Go look at it again. Go look at it again. Go look for it. God is telling you, this place is ready for something big. But I need people who have resiliency. Don't resign. Don't resign in your minds. Remove the resignation out of your minds, out of your thought life. Because many times the enemy will come and say, you know, Brother Shelton, it's not worth it. Many times come into your life. Why even try? Brother Lucas, why bother? Ain't going to get any better. That's the enemy. And God says, I prepared the latter rain. I've already prepared the rain showers. I need you to prepare the soil. I need you to take your umbrellas out because it is going to pour. And we're saying, God, I don't need an umbrella. I just want to get soaked. I want to get saturated in that blessing. And God says, that's faith. It's when you walk out on a sunny day, you take that umbrella with you. That's faith saying, I expect it's going to rain. Because it started out, that cloud is the size of a man's hand. Sometimes that's our faith, church. The size of a man's hand, God saying, I need it bigger. Look out on the horizon. I need it bigger. The cloud is going to grow. Losing hope is not hoping to lose. Losing faith is not faithfully losing. You know, the unnamed widow in this story was resigning and she was hopeless. Her resiliency was spent. She was done. If the children of Israel were to do one thing, it wasn't so much to care for the widow and the orphan, but to make sure they weren't abused, they weren't neglected. But it seems that someone had forgotten about this widow and her son. And I can imagine her son was a little boy, because obviously he wasn't working, as she was the one collecting the sticks. And I think to myself, you know, this is a mother. You know, and many times back then, church, a lot of fathers, a lot of husbands died young for one reason or another. And I think to myself, you know, this mother was doing everything she can. She was providing. She was resilient unto the end. And then she resigned to death. And along comes God. This woman, like many of us, has been on a road of determination with the free pass called salvation and has at times stopped to ponder it all. Let's jump to Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the gate which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The words of Jesus. You know, church, the gate is difficult to get through because not everybody finds it. The road is narrow. Not everyone stays on it. We purpose to follow that narrow path. And sometimes we need to make sure we don't get seduced into thinking we're on the narrow path and we're on the broad way to hell. It's our thinking, church. When we resign, we jump on a different road. You know, Christianity is not works, it is work. You know that, church? Christianity is work. It's not about works, it is work. It is this road that we are on that many times we lose hope. You know, church, that I was putting this together and I was saying, Lord, many times we're on this straight and narrow path. We're on this road. And God, I want to stop and give up. I want to resign. I want to stop right here. And you know, Lord is speaking to me many times. We're on that straight and narrow path, the beaten path. And many times people get off on the shoulder because we're done. But you know, many people before you have gotten off on that same spot. And they've continued to go forward. And church, we need to continue doing that. Because if we stop, if we give up, church, there's a lot following us. There's many followings that are right behind us. They're going to ask the question, why did you quit? Why did you stop? God is wanting those on a journey to continue the journey. We get back on that path and move forward. Tonight, church, resiliency needs to be in your vocabulary for the rest of the year. We need to resolve that we're going to continue to go forward, that no matter what happens, church, no matter what happens. You know, church, when I was younger, I used to like to watch basketball games. And you know, church, I felt that if I wasn't watching a basketball game, that I had to be watching it. Otherwise, they might lose. That there's somehow I could enforce winning. I had this in my head. And you know, church, it's funny, but I had to wrestle with that, thinking, this is ridiculous. I don't even have to look at the game. They're either going to win or they're going to lose. That is one less thing I have to drag around in my head. Just tell me the score afterwards. Just tell me how they did. And we do that. We drag things, meaningless things, around with us. We drag around those bad habits, those thoughts. Many times it's those things in our lives from years ago. It's issues with family. Whether it's issues with things we've done, past sin. And the enemy comes in like a flood and just peppers your mind with it and says, you know what? How can you when you did this? How can you when you thought this? But don't resign, church. Resiliency is saying, you know what, devil? Let me remind you of where you're going to be when it's all said and done. You know what, devil? Let me remind you that Jesus Christ has already washed me with his blood. Let me remind you that he beat you at Calvary. Let me remind you that he has the keys firmly grasped in his hand. Let me remind you that he is the Son of God. He is an awesome God. And let me remind you that God is God. You know, as I was thinking about this, church, I thought, what are the most encouraging words in the Word of God to me? The first four words in the Word of God. In the beginning, God. And then the words of Jesus Christ. Three words. It is finished. And I thought, how in between all that, it's so encouraging to me to say, God, in the beginning, you created it all for us. You put it all together for us, God. Even this mind of ours. And then when you said it is finished, it's done. There is no more resignation. It's resiliency. Let's go forward. Because Jesus Christ marched forward. Looking into eternity, church. You know, Jesus Christ, as he walked that road, suffering. Every person in this church tonight, he was calling out your name. You were on his mind. You know, we get back on the path and move forward. Job 17:15 reads, "And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it?" Job asked the question. Sometimes I have that question. I'm telling you where hope is, church. It's in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have rhetorical questions. We already know the answer. Like I said, how many times have I quit in the past? And how many times have I quit recently? Like I said, church, many times I'm done. And many times you are done. Find Pastor Pepper at the end of a school day. At the end of school day, the end of a long week, and ask him if he's done. He probably won't admit it, but he probably wants to get on that red vibe of his and go home. I'm done. This morning, church, is an example of what God is wanting to do. He is wanting to open up the blessings, the showers, but we're that close. Church, is as a testimony, could anyone sense that? How close were we, church? We were so close. And God is saying, I'm going to let you get closer. I'm going to draw you closer. That is all God is wanting. You know, I was thinking to myself, Lord, how many times do I provide godly hope and counsel to people, to strangers, Yet I can't reconcile hope to myself. We're all in that same situation many times. We can't reconcile hope to ourselves. We're so undone, and God is saying, I'm gonna finish you up. Many times we want to finish ourselves. We want to sculpt ourselves. We want to be the potter. And God says, you just be the clay. And just soften up and put yourself in my hands, and I will form you. A few scriptures for encouragement, church, and I'm gonna be finished up here pretty quick. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that thou, the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:27, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. Luke 12:29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him a perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. There's a man by the name of Vernon Brewer. He wrote an article for The Hill. Real basic article. And the question basically was an article about people asking him about providing Bibles. And it goes like this. People often ask why we provide Bibles to Christians in persecuted countries, especially when owning a Bible can get Christians in serious trouble with the authorities. I'll let a believer from Iran answer that question. He said to our partners, when I had the opportunity to read the Bible, I found true hope. We pray we can share the good news with more Iranians desperate for hope. To Christians in Iran, North Korea, and other countries where they face fierce persecution, the Bible is not simply a lifeless religious text to be studied or memorized. It is a source of hope in the middle of darkness. Church, are we getting the Word of God and putting it in the proper place and the proper text for our lives? Have we taught our children to read the Word of God? Are we reading the Word of God, or does it sit on a shelf gathering dust? You know, we get on our Rangers church because they leave their Bibles here, which means they either have a Bible at home or they're not taking their Bibles home. Commander Lucas has been pushing the boys to get through the whole Bible, part of their Bible merit. Church, but this just doesn't fall on the Rangers. What about us as adults? I think Pastor mentioned this here a couple of weeks ago, the same thing. You know, church, how many of us are actually ingesting the Word of God daily? Church is so important. People that are dying for the Word of God, and here we take it for granted. 1 Peter 1:13 reads, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to conclude with these thoughts, church. Go ahead, Brother Lucas, put up that. I came across this photo. I actually took it. And this is a picture of scripture that was left after the World Trade Center bombing. And on it is Matthew 5, 38 through 45. Verse 38 reads, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that it resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him to the other also." The words of Jesus Christ, church, the fortitude, the word of God survived. This church is symbology that the word of God will never perish. The word of God will continue to weather the storms. The word of God will continue to infiltrate, will continue to bless us, will continue to give us nourishment, the nourishment we need in our minds, church. You know, and there's a part of it, and it's hard to read unless you zoom in. But basically, the words of Jesus Christ. It has survived. Now it sits as part of a memorial under glass, as a reminder to people of a tragedy. But church, it's not part of a tragedy. It's part of hope. That word of God was in someone's office. That was sitting someplace in this structure. It sat up there. It was probably read, never knowing that this word, simply print on paper, would be salvaged out of what was left of 3,000 people's lives, or dust of a building, of what man thought was something colossal. All that that didn't survive, church, word of God survived. But it goes to show you, church, no matter how bad things get, and I believe many times things are getting a little bit tougher this year, but we got to get a little bit tougher. Our resiliency, church, needs to go up. There needs to be no resignation of mind, of spirit. It is time, church. It is time to boost it up. Church, those things in our lives that hold us back. You know that there's scripture, verse 38 of, and this really got my attention, 1 Kings chapter 8, 35 through 39, there is a verse 38 which says, "What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart." What's in your heart tonight? What's in your mind? Because many times your heart will force your resignation, church. Many times we'll walk away, we'll step away. And church, I'm talking to people here, to human beings. I'm talking to people here that I know many of you at one point or another have resigned. God is saying, I don't need people to resign. I need people to be resolved. There is a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, grandparents, children, siblings that need salvation. Nobody else is going to do it. Guess who's going to do it, church? Those of you in here that are resolved to do it. Church, I'm going to leave you with these words. It's more of a question. Will you resolve tonight to stand by the word of God in 2020? Or will you resign? What's your 2020 resolution? Resolve to be resilient and purpose to secure your mind. It's time, church, if we can all stand. You know, church, tonight, as we gather in this place of worship, as we gather in a place of consecration, as we gather in a place of dedication, let it be, church. Open your mind to Jesus Christ. Allow God to look if there is a plague in your heart that needs to be removed, that sometimes holds you back. Because many times, church, nobody else knows but you. And many times the enemy has whispered that into your life. It's time, church, to step on the enemy. Just like the enemy's a snake, it's time to put the heel down on the head and say, we're done. I'm not resigning Jesus Christ. I'm resigning those voices that cry out to you, that continue to tempt you. Church, tonight's the night. If there's any other night, if there was any morning, it was this morning, church. But out of grace and mercy, we have one more opportunity tonight. Let's clean it all up, our minds. And I know tomorrow we'll wake up and we'll face drama. We'll face chaos. We'll face frustration. We'll face anger with family members. And it'll seem like it doesn't matter what he preached last night. I'm still going through with it. But just resolve that you're not going to let it get into your mind, church. Resolve you're not going to let it get into your heart. Resolve that you're going to let Jesus Christ fill you 100%. You know that crucible oil, church, that was never to lose the oil? And that vessel that stored the meal? That meal is provision, church. God is not going to fail you in providing. And God is never going to let the oil run out, church. Tonight, God is not going to let the oil of anointing run out in your life, but you need to accept it. Just like this woman was commanded to take the prophet in, tonight, I'm asking, are you willing to take the Messiah into your house to allow him to work through you? Because, church, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next 5 seconds. But I can tell you, church, that the God of promises, the God of salvation, wants to meet us at this place tonight. Church, tonight, if we can find a place to pray, and let's ask God, God, resolve, help me to resolve in my mind that I'm going to solidify everything about you. And that not only that, God, but people are going to be able to read my mind, and in my mind, they're going to know that I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That I personally know who Jesus Christ is. And I can lead you by the hand down this road and take you on this narrow path to meet the Messiah. Tonight, church, let's find a place to pray. And let's take this to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask God to finish this message tonight, Lord. Finish this message in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul. Stir our hearts, Father God. Lord God, this narrow path, Lord, never to resign, Father, but continue to resolve, to be resilient, Father, to continue to go forward, Lord, to continue, Father, to fight, to continue, Lord God, to go forward, Lord God, to be able to hold the hands of loved ones, to hold the hands of our church friends, our church family, Lord, to continue to persevere, Father, to move forward, God, never to resign, Lord, but continue to be resilient. Father, thank you, Jesus, for the power of your word. Thank you for your children. Thank you for this church. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen.